Welcome to the program's new corporate short form podcast, The Debrief. A debrief occurs at the end of any operation where an organization discusses who and what went well and who and what needs to improve. It is the single best way an organization gets better. And typically, it doesn't occur. Not with the program. We want to share our debriefs with you, our listeners, here. Even if you aren't in corporate America, though, the lessons learned and topics we discuss on the debrief can be applied to all the teams on which we are privileged to be a part. This podcast will be a shorter version of the program podcast and with a focus on our work with corporations. Most debrief podcasts will be a conversation between program teammates who work with our corporate clients. Today, you get me, Eric Kapitulik, CEO and founder, and my teammate, Brady Turnage. Brady, this week, let's discuss something you and I and all program teammates challenge our clients to implement: a back brief.
Cap, thanks for having me. Happy to be here. You and I, in our military careers, literally have staked our lives to the quality of back briefs that happen before operations. And now we share that technique with our clients. So happy to talk to you about it this morning.
Yeah, I mean, and so and because we've done so in our earlier careers, military careers, that when we don't see it happen, it's like nails on a chalkboard to us, right? So Brady, explain a back brief to our listeners.
Absolutely. So a back brief is a communication technique we use before we begin the project, the game, the evolution, the job, whatever it is we're going to go do. So the briefer, or the speaker, or the presenter, or the leader, whoever is up in front of the team or in front of their partner talking about, hey, we're going to go do A, B, and C. Once that person has completed those instructions, they then ask a series of questions of all the other teammates in the room, whether it's one teammate or 100 teammates. And they're just asking questions to have their teammates either read back or repeat back some of the key elements of what the leader just said to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Yeah. And, you know, my introduction I just gave, I highlight how this is a focus on for corporations. But boy, do you know where this is very timely for me, because do you know where I use one where I use a back brief constantly, and every time I don't use it, I get burned? Yeah. Is coaching my son's football team right now. Literally,
100%.
Every single time, right? Hey, I end it with the way our corporate clients end meetings, right? The way our coaches that we work with, that we're privileged to work with, and their meetings or discussions with their players. I say what I want done, what needs to be done. And then I go, hey, all right, any questions? And I got 30 kids looking at me like deer in the headlights, like, no, coach, no questions. Okay, no questions. All right, so y'all got it, right? Yep. Then no, they all got it. And then we start the play. And when I say that maybe 10% of them actually got it, I'm probably giving myself a few percentages there, Brady. So yes, this podcast does have a focus for corporations and our work that we do with corporations. Believe me, a back brief can and should be used as if you're a parent, a teacher, a coach, and yes, and business leaders. So, Brady, we were talking before we started here, pretty cool story that you had about your work as a Navy pilot about back briefs. Can you share that with our audience?
I sure can. Yeah, as you told your story about your football team, I'm laughing, right? Because with most of our techniques, certainly with back brief, if you can do this successfully with children, and the younger the children, the more evidence of success. If you can do this with children, you can probably do it anywhere on earth with any team. So yeah, a story that comes to mind when I think about back brief is a mission I flew late in my career. I was an executive officer of a squadron. So the number two guy in the squadron, I joined them just a few weeks into a very long deployment. So they were already going at a pretty brisk pace. Combat operations. We are on call to fly a mission that came from national tasking, right? And what I mean by that is this mission was approved at the very highest levels of DOD and government. It was a very specific, complicated mission. So we had been on call to fly this mission for weeks. Prior to us even being in theater, the squadron we relieved had been on call. So this mission was waiting for all the right elements, the right weather, the right, you know, moon phase, the right intel, the right this, the right that. Like, so everything had to come together. So every night, all the assets that were going to, you know, go against this or go on this mission were staged and ready to go, and it would get canceled. It would get delayed. It would get this, it would get that. So, and this went on again for weeks. So I'm with my guys, fairly new to the squadron, and we're on call for this mission. And we would cycle crews in and out just to keep people fresh and keep guys ready to go. So we'd been there for a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks. So, you know, the 15th night in a row, you brief the exact same mission. Do you think complacency starts to set in?
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm sitting there with my 20 page pack of mission data on my kneeboard clipboard, and I'm not paying attention. I've heard it a dozen times before. So I'm the senior guy there. I had nothing to do with this. My guys, because they were professional and dialed in, decided that to keep everyone's attention, we weren't going to brief the mission. We were simply going to run what we call a rock drill, review of concepts, but basically it's a back brief. So the lead, the flight lead, and there were multiple airplanes in this mission. The flight lead stood up and did zero briefing. The flight lead just back briefed for an hour and went right down that 20 page packet of information I was telling you about and just asked every member of the flight different questions. What altitude are you at? What altitude are you going to be at? What time do we meet our first airborne tanker? What happens if that airborne tanker can't pump gas? What's our contingency plan for that? What crypto are we dialing up on our primary radio? What crypto are we dialing up on our secondary radio? And so we went through all of these very, very detailed elements that could spell mission success or failure with a back brief for an hour. And everyone was sitting up straight in their chair. Everyone was paying attention. We were absolutely dialed in, focused, and ready to go. And that mission ended up being a huge success when we finally got to fly it.
Brady, having nothing to do with a back brief, I'll just have you know that just listening to you talk as a pilot and how you're explaining this, you know, I know that this mission, it was probably like some BS, ridiculous, vanilla type of whatever. I mean, you guys did nothing. But just hearing the way you describe it, even me, who knows that? I'm picturing Top Gun Maverick. Like, I mean, that's what I'm picturing right now. There's a reason why pilots, everybody thinks pilots are the coolest. Just listening to you talk, I literally, Maverick. That's what I'm thinking about. Now, outside of that, though, despite that, right, and my jealousy of it, listening to you talk, though, one of the things that it reminds me of is that using a back brief, right? At the end of we all have meetings. And the reason why we end up having to have a meeting to discuss a meeting, having a meeting to discuss what we discussed in the previous meeting, is because at the end of a meeting, leaders say, hey, any questions, right? And who in that meeting wants to raise their hands and say, yeah, I want to stay in here longer. I want my teammates, I want them to stay in here longer because I don't understand. So instead, nobody has any questions. We go out and then, okay, now we have to have another meeting to discuss what we discussed before. And yes, we should discuss and have a back brief when it's Top Gun Maverick, right? But by the same token, conducting a back brief, even on the routine things that we do, that we're discussing, ensures alignment and clarity of purpose, does it not?
It absolutely does. You know, Cap, another reason that no one says, yep, hey, I actually have a question, is I don't want to be the person in the room who demonstrates my ignorance or the fact that I just flat out wasn't paying attention by asking the most basic question on earth. When in reality, there are probably 7 or 8 other people in the room that have the exact same question I do, and they're feeling the exact same way I am. I'm not going to be the person to stick my hand up in the air and show what a knucklehead I am. We're all worried about what people are going to think about us. So an element of the back brief is, and we can talk about this on a later episode, is do we have good, trustful, respectful relationships on our team? And I'm not talking about being best friends. If we are, that's great. I'm talking about being great teammates. Do we respect and trust one another enough for me to be able to raise my hand and ask a question? And one way we can facilitate that is with the back brief. As the briefer, I'm just going to preempt that. And I'm going to say, hey, Cap, what time are we meeting? I'm just going to preempt it with the back brief. It's a facilitator to not only trust and doing the job well, but to build more trust.
Yeah. I think that the first time first of all, right, the reason why people don't typically conduct back briefs is it's just not a habit for them, right? And number one. Number two, who likes meetings? But the truth is, most people, if your meeting is effective and we're getting better from this meeting, people are okay with meetings. It's the meetings where we discuss a lot of stuff and we leave there still as you know, with as much transparency as we had beforehand. And we're like, oh, what a waste of time, right? So we got to make making a back brief a habit. And by doing that, knowing when everybody knows, hey, at the end of every meeting, I may get called upon. Number one, you immediately will pay attention more because of exactly the point you just raised. Hey, I don't want to not know the answer. So when you make back briefs a habit and systemic with every meeting, then people will start paying attention more. You know, hey, I may get called upon, which brings up the second point that I'd like to make, which is when the leader or whoever's running the meeting finishes, you do not ask questions to the group. Call on people. Brady, what time are we meeting? Eric, what do you need to bring with you? Jamie, what is your role in today's event, as an example, right? Or in this play, Jamie, in this play, what is your role? What are you doing? Call on individual people. It makes everybody pay attention more, knowing, hey, I'm not just going to let somebody from the audience answer this. No, you may get called on to answer this.
That's right. You know, one of the obstacles to this, Cap, we'll go work with a corporate client and we'll spend a lot of time with them on what's a back brief? Why do we use it? How do we use it? What are the benefits of it? How is it different than a debrief? So we'll really dig in. They'll understand it. It'll make perfect sense to them. They'll want to go use it. And then a lot of times they come back to us sometime later, maybe a day, maybe a month, whatever it is, and they haven't started using a back brief. And we start talking about why. Is there an obstacle? Do you not feel comfortable? You know, what are the reasons? And a lot of times that leader doesn't feel comfortable with their corporate team, whether that team is three people or 35 people. They don't feel comfortable using the back brief because they feel like they're going to belittle their people, or they're going to be talking down to their teammates. Yeah. So
insulting their intelligence or something. Yeah,
that's right. So one of the methods that we've explained to them is, hey, just explain it to your people. Just say, hey guys, I was talking with our program teammates, or I learned this new technique. It's called a back brief. Here's what it is. I'm going to start using it in meetings. I'm not trying to insult anyone. I'm not trying to pick on anyone, even though I will call on you by name. It's just to make sure we have a good two-way flow of communication. And guess what? If you answer the question wrong, there's a very good chance that it's not on you. It's on me. I probably communicated it incorrectly.
Yeah, that right there is a great point. And really, you know, the back brief, if as a leader, if you're conducting a back brief, to have it as I got you moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole host of other issues we gotta dive into with you, right? No, the reason why we're conducting a back brief, I feel for me personally, the number one reason I enjoy doing back briefs is to see, did I communicate this effectively? All of us, boy, and myself with my ego more than anybody, I think I am a wonderful communicator. Yeah, then I ask questions and the entire football team is looking at me cross-eyed, right? My entire program team is looking at me cross-eyed, right? So apparently I did not communicate as effectively as I think I'm doing, right? Or as effectively as I think I communicate. So by conducting a back brief, it really helps make me be a better communicator. It helps ensure that what I thought and what I wanted to communicate was received by the audience. And for our listeners, it highlights that there's a difference between, just because you said it doesn't mean it was effectively communicated, because communication is not only talking, it's listening. So it's not just, did you say it? It was it heard? And was it heard by the correct people? And that's the real power, I feel, of the back brief. It starts with me as the leader of the meeting of, did I effectively communicate this?
That's right. You know, we all get up and our message is crystal clear in our minds when we get up to speak, right? Yeah. A message sent, however, is not a message received, or it's not a message accurately received. So yes, I get up with the intent to successfully and effectively communicate and be concise and smooth and all of these things, but it's never going to happen 100%. Every time I'm in front of my team, I'm probably going to say something flat out inaccurate or wrong, or I'm going to say something in a somewhat confusing manner, at least to a handful of people. So again, I'm striving to communicate perfectly, but I'm probably never going to get there. So that back brief ensures that my message is accurately received by my team. And then we can go execute at a very high level.
Yeah, Brady, you said something earlier, and I would like you to define it for our audience, is because I want us to be clear right now. Briefly, describe the difference, or describe a debrief, describe a back brief, and what are the key differences?
Great question, Cap. We have a lot of clients who confuse this. And to the points we've made previously, it's probably because we don't explain it well, at least not well enough. Mm-hmm. Debrief and back brief, the terms are very similar. The back brief, what we're talking about on this episode, the back brief happens prior to the event or the execution or the project. It's a pre-action discussion. The debrief happens after the event or the project or the job. It's a post-action discussion. We've defined a back brief. I give a list of instructions or tasking, and then I ask my teammates questions to make sure that I communicated clearly and they understood and that we're all on the same page. Then we go execute. So we brief, then we back brief, then we execute, then we debrief. The debrief is post-action. The debrief is simply, did we perform well? Did we achieve our objective? What did we do well? What did we not do well? What do we need to do differently or improve on in the future? So let me back brief you right now, Cap. A back brief happens pre-action or post-action?
Pre-action.
Correct. A back brief happens pre-action. Cap, a debrief happens before or after the event?
We conduct debriefs after the event.
Yes, we do. That's the difference. Now, go ahead, Cap.
We do, and sometimes you do conduct a back brief at the end of a debrief. Because in the debrief, we're saying, hey, this is what we did well. This is what we need to improve on. And tomorrow, when we go do this again, hey, this is what we need to improve on. And then you may say just simply, okay, Brady, tomorrow, what are we going to improve on here? We discussed it during the debrief. Now, what a back brief is, whatever you communicate or talk about to ensure that it was effectively heard and everybody does have transparency, clarity, and alignment. It's just asking questions prior to the end or conclusion of a meeting. Brady, I know one of the things, we do our Wilderness Leadership Challenge, and I tell participants, right? Hey, listen, before you go out there, I'll give my keynote speech or something like that. And then our instructors take over doing a Wilderness Leadership Challenge. And I'll say to the audience, now look, hey, I want to give you the answer here right now. Leaders, if you get called upon or you volunteer for a leadership position, you're going to be given a bunch of information. You're going to pass that information on to your team. Before you execute that mission, you're going to formulate a plan and you're going to communicate that plan. Before you execute on it, ask questions to your team to ensure that they actually know the plan before you execute. Okay, do we agree that you're going to do this? Yes. Okay, now, most of the time people don't do it because, as I said before, they just haven't made it a habit to do so. But the other reason why it sometimes occurs, and what our audience and our clients will say is, you know, Eric, I thought about doing the back brief, but, you know, during the leadership challenge, those leadership reaction courses, we have people under a time limit. So there's pressure there. They feel this pressure. So there's a time limit. So the leaders will say, you know, I thought about doing it, but look, just in the interest of time, I wanted to get going. Yes, I understand your thought process, but you're still wrong, because we asked them to reflect on, okay, and then when you started executing, how often did you have to stop to answer questions? So yes, conducting a back brief prior to execution, it does take more time, right? Admittedly, it does take more time. You are going to spend more time in that meeting prior to execution than if you just end it and let people go. But boy, when we have people reflect on how much time was wasted during the execution phase, answering questions that you did speak about during pre-briefing, but that members of your team either weren't listening to, didn't hear, or just didn't understand, whatever the time is that you spend pre-execution, that's time well spent. You have a positive return on your investment, because if you don't spend that time, the amount of time you're spending during the execution phase, it far outweighs it, does it not?
It definitely outweighs it if you can do it in the pre-mission or the planning phase. The two things to think about to kind of piggyback on your point, which I totally agree with, is if we can make our briefing and our back brief techniques standardized, it saves time, because everyone gets into a flow and they know what's coming. They know what to expect, and we flow through this rather than doing it differently every time. So if we're really worried about time, we can make up a little bit of time and brief the same exact stuff and back brief the same exact stuff by doing so in a standardized format. So that's number one. Number two, if we don't take that time pre-execution and then we start making a lot of mistakes in the heat of the moment, we tend to get a little stressed out, a little frantic. We start to rush, and then we make more mistakes. So if I can take an extra minute or two and back brief thoroughly, oh baby, is it going to save me time, stress, and just, it's going to reduce the chaos when I'm in the heat of the moment, when I'm thinking not with the front part of my brain, but with my brainstem, because I'm all stressed out. So it's time well spent, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think final point here is, and then I'll give you the floor to give any final points for you from your perspective, Brady. But one thing that I would highlight to our listeners is I love the reaction of leaders when they ask a question during the debrief, when they ask a question during the back brief and somebody gets the wrong answer. I love the response by leaders when they say, "Oh man, I'm really glad I asked that question," rather than, "Hey dummy, I said it four times," right? I'll tell you right now, one response, the former, makes people go, "Oh yeah, hey, the back brief, I like this back brief." The latter response is, "Oh God, the last thing I want to do is be a part of a back brief," right? So the leader really has to set the tone, number one. Number two, though, the thing I would highlight, even if you're not in a leadership role or you're not in charge of a particular meeting, prior to that meeting dispersing, if a back brief isn't conducted, what we challenge teammates to do is say, "Hey, any questions? Hey, I don't have any question, but maybe you could ask us as an audience, hey, just ask us some questions here about what you just discussed, because I really want to make sure that everybody here is on board with this." And so don't put, yes, the leader's 100% responsible for conducting a back brief, but if you're a member of the team, you're 100% responsible for asking for one, too. Final thought, Brady.
Final thought.
Comment, yeah.
When you and Mac discuss back brief in the book, you say this: "We cannot stress enough to parents, teachers, and leaders on every team the importance of utilizing the back brief technique. It will make your team better." The first group of people you list is parents.
Yeah.
If I take my 7-year-old daughter, Lily, to soccer practice and I don't back brief, "Hey, what do you have in your bag?" We show up to soccer practice with dance shoes in her bag. That's my fault, because I didn't check via a back brief to make sure she has her soccer cleats. We can use this in any arena. Cap, thanks for having me today. It was awesome.
That is a great final point. Thank you, Brady. For our listeners, to sign up for our monthly letter on leadership and to learn more about the program and our leadership development and team building services for your own team, go to theprogram.org. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at theprogram.org and on Facebook at theprogram.org and at We Do One More. And on LinkedIn, at the-program-LLC. If you've enjoyed today's program podcast, please leave a review of it on whatever platform you have accessed it from. Finally, more on back briefs and other team building and leadership development topics can be found in the program. Lessons from Elite Military Units for Creating and Sustaining High Performance Leaders and Teams, our book. To review it, to read it, you can find it at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com or on the program website, theprogram.org. Thank you and attack.